You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hi and welcome to Money Control. I'm Keertana and you're tuned in to Setting Sail, a podcast series where we'll talk about the top developments in the world of startups. They plan projects from ground zero and give it shape. These founders will explain how they transform their ideas into projects. Today we have Mayank Kumar, an investor in the education sector. He joined hands with film producer Ronnie Screwala, Ravijot Chugh, and Falgun Kompali and started UpGrad. This startup is an online education platform that helps graduates improve their skills and achieve their career goals. Welcome to Setting Sail, Mayank. Can you tell us about how you decided to build this new platform?
As you rightly said, that we are an online learning platform. We largely focus on the higher education ecosystem, so which is anything post K through 12. So after schooling, you have college, then you have become a working professional. And one of the areas that we felt there was a need, but there were not too many credible options, was specifically working professionals, people like you and I, who having worked for 6, 7, 8, 10 years, are now feeling, hey, am I stuck in my career? What next for me to do? Oh. And they don't have the option of leaving their job and going back to campus and colleges. So can we provide quality online programs so that they feel unstuck and they feel that they are staying relevant and more sort of not getting redundant in the fast changing ecosystem?
Okay. So there were four founders in the beginning, right? Including you, Ravijot Chugh, Falgun Kompali and Ronnie Screwala. So how did you all come together and decide?
There are still four. All four of us are together right now. So this actually started pre the UpGrad starting days when I was investing in the education sector and was in the education sector for close to 6, 7 years. And that's the time that one of my colleague, an ex-colleague of mine, he introduced me to Ronnie. Ronnie had in his mind, like post his UTB days, thinking of what next in his career. And he was thinking of education, healthcare as two opportunities for him to sort of venture into. And for me, and the meeting was more for Ronnie to pick my brains and figuring out what exists in the education ecosystem. We met and after that about 3-4 months of full silence and sort of we did not exchange any emails, etc. after that. And about 3-4 months, Ronnie pinged me and said, hey, are you free to catch up? I came back again, met with Ronnie. We had a conversation. He said, are you open to being an entrepreneur? I said, no, I am not. But I think at the hindsight, I realized that there's no right time for being an entrepreneur, taking the plunge and moving out and sort of starting something of my own. So it was then that Ronnie said that, look, what should we do in education if you are keen to taking the plunge? And I came back with 3 or 4 options. And this was an option which we started with UpGrad online higher education for working professionals, was something which was very close to my heart. We both of us decided, look, let's start launching and start getting the company prepared to be launched. And that's where I reached out to both Ravi and Falgun, who I used to work earlier. So they all came on board as co-founders. So the four of us together started the venture in March 2015.
What is it about education that you chose that?
I mean, there are multiple reasons. I think, I don't know about your background, but I am a byproduct of extremely subsidized education. My schooling was paid for by the government. My higher education, at least the engineering education, was completely subsidized by the government. I studied at Kendriya Vidyalaya. I paid 5 rupees or 10 rupees a month as my fees. Then I went to IIT Delhi, which was again extremely subsidized. And I was investing in the education sector for 8-9 years and trying to sort of figure out what is there to sort of invest in. And I could not find a great asset to invest in the education sector. By the back of the mind, I always used to crib that this education ecosystem is so bad. And I used to always say that it's a very education system. It's not working out well. And beyond a certain time, I realized that having been a product of a subsidized education, I don't have the right to criticize the education ecosystem if I'm not doing anything about that. And having seen a lot outside and having seen the quality of education in India, at one day I woke up and I said, look, boss, that's it. And there's no reason for me to be upset. And it was the same time when I met with Ronnie and things got aligned together. But it's just been the passion of the education space and the fact that if you don't do it, who's going to do it?
Yeah.
Kind of a thought process led to starting of this venture.
Okay. So, previously in 2012, we came across these platforms like Coursera and edX. So would these platforms, are they like competition for you, or like how is it different? How is UpGrad different?
So a couple of ways. I think the Coursera's etc. of the world came in 2010-11, around somewhere around that time. So there's an interesting story that 2011, New York Times put out saying that this is the year of MOOCs. Okay. 2012, they came out with a headline which said this is the death of MOOCs.
Okay.
And 2013, they came out with an article, this is the reinvention of MOOCs.
Oh.
So all of these categories of sort of things that we categorize as MOOCs, they have gone through massive amount of sort of transition. Is this a competition? Not exactly in true sense, but I'll give you a broad sort of picture as to how you should look at education. See, you can learn anything by listening to podcasts or watching a YouTube, reading Economist, reading up New York Times, etc. Mm. But you still go to an IIM or a Harvard to get educated.
Yes.
So on one hand, there's a lot of content available which you can categorize as learning.
Mm.
And then education is slightly different.
Yeah.
So I look at MOOCs as very strong component for learning, but not a very strong transition tool for education.
Mm.
And the spectrum of this sort of becomes different because on one hand, you have access to content, which is libraries.
Yeah.
And I think you had access to the best of the libraries in your campus, in your college.
Yeah.
But you never went to your college for the library it had. You went to the college for the education that it had.
Yeah.
And in the spectrum of content to education, the biggest difference is handholding.
Okay.
The education is slightly tricky. It's like eating vegetable. Your mother slaps you to eat them, you don't want to eat on your own.
Okay.
It's not like Netflix and chill that you will watch Netflix and you will go back and again. That handholding becomes very important for one to go through the program.
Okay.
Someone calling you and saying, Kirtana, you have not done your homework.
Okay.
Assignments are due. When will you finish it? Someone saying, look, you spent 1 lakh rupees in doing this. Why are you not finishing your work? All those elements play an important part in taking them through the education, which otherwise in the online context, specifically the company that you mentioned, was missing. That's why those companies have also transitioned to add those handholding elements and take a more education approach rather than a learning and content approach.
Okay. We are now talking to Mr. Mayank Kumar, the CEO of UpGrad. And he was telling us about the difference between Coursera and edX, those kind of MOOCs. Can you tell us what MOOC stands for?
MOOC stands for Massive Online Open Courses. Yeah.
So that and how UpGrad works.
Yep.
So how do you narrow down on offering a particular course?
See, education works really well at some kind of point of discontinuity.
Mm.
That if there was, I think if you go back 1999, 2000, computer science and IT was becoming a boom.
Yeah.
There's a massive industry that was built because IT and ecosystem was coming up and everyone in the neighborhood was taking up a C, C++, Java was not there, but at least C, C++, those kind of programs. Similar kind of a thing is happening today. We looked at the ecosystem right now, data, automation, AI, machine learning, all of these are disrupting the industries.
Yeah, it is.
And that's where we started with the programs on those domains. But how we go about approaching that is we first go to the companies. There's the 3-4 steps. The first step is we actually look at the job portals.
Okay.
We see which kind of jobs are emerging in the ecosystem.
Mm.
If I see a lot of people coming in blockchain and so on and so forth, I'll see a trend that look blockchain perhaps could become bigger. We pass all through the data. And we identify the competencies and then we go to the HR manager and ask them, look, you guys are hiring HR folk, people in for these roles. What kind of competencies are you looking at?
Mm.
Once we have a marriage between what the data suggests from the ecosystem, what the industry is saying, then we look at competition and what currently exists. So I think the 3-phased approach of actually looking at data point from LinkedIn, Naukri, what kind of jobs are coming up, where they're finding it difficult to sort of find the right set of people, and then validating that with the company, the HR head, etc. So that's how the entire approach of us to launch a new program end up taking up.
Okay. Right now you've described how, I mean, it's very specific, right? There is a particular training for a particular job. How specific are you planning to go in choosing these kind of courses?
I mean, we're largely focusing on the components of data, digital and technology as 3 broad themes. Data, because of AI, machine learning, etc., is becoming far and far sort of more and more prevalent in the ecosystem. Digital, because the way marketing was done is not how marketing is done today.
Mm.
How products were developed is not how products are developed today. How journalism was done, like these podcasts, were non-existent earlier on.
Yeah.
And these are new tools that are coming up. So as On the digital front, we look for any kind of disruption that has happened in terms of skill set in the context of digital. So digital marketing, product management, IoT, etc. sort of falls in that domain. And then finally, technology. Those skills are changing. Full stack development is becoming far relevant. Robotics is coming up, cloud, IoT, etc. So I think those are the broad domains that we focus on the current IT ecosystem professional.
Okay.
The next side that we are launching on are on management side. So how MBAs and online sort of PG programs in management are coming up. Those are the kind of programs that we are launching on the management front. So that's the broad spectrum of the program that we offer. Over a period of time, Kirtana, we actually had a company in the college education space, which is in which focus on college kids to make them more employable. So we ventured into that space with AcadView. And for the first time, we have launched a job guarantee program. That if you do a one-year program, you get a guaranteed job towards the end of the program. So in that spectrum, now we are focused on college. We have the first-time job seeker with a job guarantee program. And the working professional on skills of tomorrow and careers of tomorrow that can make them more relevant.
Okay. So now I need to ask you a very important question. How do you see startups grow in India?
See, there are enough things in the current ecosystem that are broken. And every good entrepreneur finds that as an opportunity to drive that. For good or for bad, I think startups are very, I mean, in some form of fashion, revered and said that, look, this is the next thing for anyone to focus on. That has its own pros and own cons. Because of that, a lot of folks are now trying to become entrepreneurs. Some of them end up becoming more, look, I want to be a wannabe entrepreneur versus sort of someone who really and truly wants to change something in the ecosystem. So the positive thing is that there's a strong amount of positivity around it, that people are open to becoming entrepreneurs. But the sad reality is that what gets celebrated in entrepreneurship and in startups are not the right things. What gets celebrated is, and partly the media is for it to be blamed, what gets celebrated is who raised the maximum amount of funds. What was the valuation at which it was raised? I think those are metrics because celebrating someone and congratulating someone on a fundraise is telling a runner for buying the best sort of shoe for running and before the race has even started.
Yeah.
I think given keeping all of this positivity around that startups are there to stay, there are large problems and it is considered keep using the word fashionable that look, being an entrepreneur is a cool thing and you will sort of solve some ecosystem. What needs to change for it to really make an impact is if people start celebrating the right things and not some of these vanity metrics, which otherwise gets quite sort of discussed in the ecosystem. If you focus on, look, this company is IPOing because IPOs are where people sort of truly unlock value. Those things don't get enough attention as much as raising $100 million fund at a $1 billion valuation that would actually end up getting. So I think that's where I do see there's changes and improvement possible. But I would not complain about all these elements. And I would say, look, I mean, people are looking at starting something of their own. They're looking at solving problems at scale. And those are good, positive things.
So that was Mayank Kumar, the co-founder of Upgrad, who is still shaping his platform and is looking for opportunities to expand the online learning space. Thanks for these insights. So that's it from this episode of Setting Sail. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.
This has been a Money Control presentation.